శ్రీరూపాం సగరాజతాం సహగణాం రఘునాథం సమస్తం సజీవం సద్వైతాం సువద్భూతం వైజనా సాయితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణాపదాం సహగణా లలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాంశం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగపతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత తారాకాంత నమోస్తుతే సప్త కంచన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి విశ్వాగం సుతిదేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ వంచ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాశ్రీ గౌరవృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
దయాయ సర్వభూతేషు సంతోషయేన కీ నమః సర్వేంద్ర పాశాంత్యాచారు జనార్దన. సో దిస్ వర్స్ ఇస్ బీయింగ్ స్పోకెన్ బై ద గ్రేట్ సేజ్ నారద ముని అండ్ హీ ఇస్ అడ్రెసింగ్ దిస్ వర్స్ టు ద ప్రచేతస్. ఎర్లియర్ ఇన్ ది ఎర్లియర్ చాప్టర్స్ వి రెడ్ హౌ ద ప్రచేతస్ had chanted a song in glorification of the Supreme Lord that was given to them by Lord Shiva, and how the Lord personally manifested himself in their presence because he was very pleased by their austerities and devotion. In fact, the Lord told the brothers that all your brothers have only one occupation. And that is, what's that? Devotional service. All the brothers are fixed in rendering devotional service. So the Lord was very pleased. Similarly, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we may have individuals in different ashrams. Some may be brahmacharis, some may be grihasthas, some may be vanaprasthas, some may be sannyasis, but we should all be fixed in one occupation, and that is devotional service. And if we're all fixed in devotional service, then the Lord will naturally be very pleased by our efforts. So Narada Muni in this chapter is giving very important instruction. In fact, many important verses that we often quote, such as pouring water on the root of the tree, etc., are all in this chapter, in Narada Muni instructions to the Prachetas. And this verse also is being spoken by the great sage Narada Muni, who is one of the authorities, Sanimu Narada Sambhu Kamara Kapilo Mano, Prado Janava Bhismo Bali Vai Yasakir Vayam. So Narada Muni is acknowledged in the Srimad Bhagavata as one of the sources of spiritual guidance and authority. So in this verse, Narada Muni is essentially giving us a three-point formula by which one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not complicated. What is it? Is it difficult to fulfill 3 points? All that Narada Muni is asking is for 3 points from each one of us. It's not that if you go for, if you go for one big job or something, you have so many qualifications. In this verse, Narada Muni is emphasizing 3 points. The first point he emphasizes is manifesting the quality of Dayaya, which means mercy. The second point Vedanta Muni emphasizes is Sarvindriyapa, that is controlling the senses. And the third point he emphasizes is Santushta. Naturally, if your senses are controlled, you will always be Santushta, satisfied in any condition. And then on the other hand, our senses are not controlled, as you see in the case of materialists, they will never be satisfied. So Narada Muni is assuring us in this verse that if we are able to manifest these three qualities, one, be merciful, two, control the mind and senses, third, be satisfied, then we will be easily able to please the personality of Godhead, Janardana. So the goal of devotional service is to please the personality of Godhead, regardless of what our service is. The bottom line is that we want to please the personality of Godhead, and Narada Muni is giving us a very simple 3-point formula. And then Prabhupada elaborates on this in the third book by further emphasizing the importance of endeavoring to spread Krishna consciousness for the benefit of suffering humanity. Now, this mood that is being manifested in this verse is also manifested in several other locations in the Bhagavatam and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and of course in Prabhupada's lectures and letters that he wrote to his devotees around the globe. Just like in the Bhagavatam, you also read the story of a very saintly king. The name of the saintly king was King Rantideva. And King Rantideva had on one occasion, he had fasted for a period of 48 days. And he was about to break his fast after fasting for 48 days. It's not easy fasting for 48 days, is it? Recently, your devotees must have fasted on Mimikadasi, Nirjalikadasi. It was quite a young person. Either one day, 24-hour fast, or anxiously waiting, and what's the break, time for breaking the fast. Anyway, King Rantideva had fasted for 48 days, and he was about to break his fast with some foodstuff made of milk, ghee, and water. When a hungry brahmana ran into his palace, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you read about spiritual monarchy. The saintly kings who considered the entire population to be like their praja, their family, and any citizen could have access to the king at any time. Isn't that wonderful? At any time, the citizen could run to the ring, or run to the palace, ring a bell, and get an audience with the king. Can you imagine that situation today? Can you hope to run into the Chancellor of your country, or the President of the United States, or the Prime Minister of India, and demand an immediate audience? Can you? No. At best, you can get a darshan on the news and the TV in the evening. That's all. They can see them giving a sermon, but you can't get a darshan. But in the waiting time, you could. So then Brahma ran into the palace. Of course, the demigods were testing the king. They ran into the palace and said, "My dear king, I'm very hungry. Give me something to eat." And the little bit of foodstuff that he had, he parted with some of the foodstuff. And then when he was about to eat, another hungry man ran in.
Yes.
And then another hungry person, a chandala, a sutra, ran in. He came in, he had many dogs with him. And he said, I'm hungry, and the dogs are hungry. Give me something to eat. And the king parted with whatever food he had. All he was left with was water. And when he was about to drink his water, another thirsty chanda ran in and said, King, I'm thirsty. Give me something to eat, something to drink. And the king parted with even the water that he had. Now after parting with everything, the king composed a very beautiful prayer that is very relevant to our discussion today. The king said, Kamaye Ham Gatam Ishwarat Param. He said, my dear Lord, I do not want any mystic perfection, anything for my any liberation. Arthen prapade kila deha bhajam antastita ina bhavanti dukha. I would like to stay on in the planet and suffer the sinful reaction due to everyone. But you give them liberation and let me suffer. Arthen prapade. Let me suffer till the very end. The sinful suffering reaction due to each one of them. In other words, the king said, take everyone back to Godhead, transfer their suffering to whom? To him. He said, I will stay on and suffer the reaction due to everyone, but you please take everyone back to Godhead. So this is another example of the exalted mentality that a Vaishnava cultivates. We also see the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj's instructions in the seventh canto. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj had the great fortune of having received spiritual knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother. Prahlad's father, without performing austerity, and the demigods headed by Indra were dragging Prahlad's mother. They were thinking that Panikrani Kashipu has made our life so hellish, and if another son is born, like they say in English, like father, like son, so without a son, like a father, it would be unbearable. So they had a very evil plan. But now the money foiled it by telling them, you see the sun inside is waiting, whom is a great sage, not a demon, nothing to worry. And then Prahlad received the wonderful transcendental instructions. And his father could never understand how is Prahlad getting these instructions. His father was thinking, maybe the Vaishnavas are disguising themselves and coming to disguise and instructing my sons about service for Vishnu. Whereas he obtained this knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother. So Prahlad Maharaj, after the Lord had killed the demon Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj had pacified the Lord with very wonderful prayers. And one of the prayers he said, so chetato vimukasa chetase viyartha mahasukar bharamudato vimuram. When I look at the attempts of the materialist who are trying to convert a position of distress to a position of comfort, my heart lemon. And Paramahansa said this not yesterday, 5,000 years ago. So if you carefully analyze the society, especially today's modern society, you will see that it is endeavoring very hard to convert distress to convenience or comfort, alright? For example, all the what is technology doing? Know that the technology facilitates things, and we use technology also. We are using technology to communicate to you. We use technology, the aeroplane to fly here. We use technology to fly out. But by and large, the real purpose is to try and, reduce the levels of distress. Just like one time if you had of hearing, they had this big hearing aid, And if you put them on in your ears, everyone could see your deaf. But now, they're sophisticated, there's technology, and they have such small hearing aids, you can put them behind a glass frame, and no one will even notice your deaf. many people who don't like wearing glasses, no problem, they have contact lenses. You think you may look ugly with a glass frame, okay, put on contact lenses. No one will even notice. You have bad eyesight. Your hair is turning white. You don't want people to look, you're getting old. You want people to keep clapping you that you're young? No problem. You send your hair dyes in the market. You can choose a shade of your liking and dye your hair. You're getting bald? No problem. They have expert people who fix up your hair and people won't even know you're bald. So Prahlad Maharaj says that when I look at these attempts of the materialist who are trying to convert a position of distress to a position of comfort, my heart laments. He feels sorry for it. And then Prahlad Maharaj goes on to say that, my dear Lord, I'm not interested in going to the Himalayas or observing a Mohan Vrat. Mohan Vrat means the many so-called transcendentalists who observe Mohan Vrat. Mohan Vrat means you don't speak. I remember in 1976, we had gone with Srila Prabhupada to a festival in Kurukshetra. And there was a huge crowd. Millions of people had come. It was a solar eclipse. And there were many sadhus who had also come. And one of the star attractions in this festival, just thinking of a mela here, the star attraction in the solar eclipse mela was a sadhu who had not spoken for 13 or 14 years. And virtually everyone who came said, we must go and take darshan of that Baba. He hasn't spoken for 14 years. Mohan Vrat. But Prabhupada was not at all impressed. He said, why should you go Mohan Vrat? If Krishna has been given you a chance, use it to glorify the holy names of the Lord and use them to broadcast the message of the Lord. So Mohan Vrat for a devotee, it's not as though in silence for the devotee is speaking to me about Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm not interested in observing Mohan Vrat, they're going to the Himalayas, they're going to the forest. I want to be where I can spread your message to the conditioned soul. Just like Bhakti Siddhanta used to say, we are not interested in going to forest, but we have to be where the people are so we can preach to them. So that we can give them Krishna consciousness. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj also, in a series of verses, in a chapter where he pacifies the Lord, who was still angry after he had killed Hiranyakashipu, points out as the mood of a Vaishnava, and Prabhupada in the purport goes on to explain that the Vaishnava is Paradukha-dukhi. Paradukha-dukhi means seeing somebody else in distress, he also becomes distressed. That is the mood that we should inherit after reading, that we should cultivate after reading the glorious activities of Prahlad Maharaj and these other great sages. Seeing others in distress, we become distressed. The material life, on the other hand, when you see somebody in distress, you become happy, isn't it? See how good I am, see how bad that guy is. When you're driving a fancy car and somebody else is standing in line for a bus, you feel so nice, good, I don't have to stand in the hospital waiting for a bus. But the other guy doesn't like it. So, a devotee, when he sees the naturalness and distress, he's not unconcerned, but he gets concerned. That's like when any part of your body is in pain, then the pain is felt by the whole body, isn't it? You may have a small toothache, it gets in one corner, but the whole body gets affected. So the devotee is, a Vaishnava is para dukha dukhi. Seeing others in distress, he also becomes distressed. That is why a Vaishnava takes on the mood of preaching. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, you read about Narada Muni instructing Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was very offended when his stepmother stopped him from sitting on his father's lap. And then the stepmother said, "You can't sit on your father's lap. Why? Because you haven't taken birth in my womb." So Dhruva Maharaj ultimately came crying to his mother, and his mother said, "I can't help you, but who can help you? God can help you. Where do you find God? In the forest, Madhuva." So Dhruva Maharaj was getting ready to leave home, but Narada Muni appeared on the scene. And Narada Muni initially wanted to test his boy's determination. So he said, "Hey, why are you going to the forest? This is not time to look for God, this is time to play." But then Narada Muni could see that the boy is very determined. So Narada Muni gave Dhruva advice as to how a devotee should reciprocate in different situations. For example, we may be in a situation where we have the opportunity to associate with somebody more advanced. So when you have the opportunity to associate with somebody more advanced than you, Narada Muni said, you should become very pleased. When you meet somebody who is equally advanced, Narada Muni instructed us to make friendship. And when you meet somebody less advanced, Narada Muni instructed, display compassion. So when you meet somebody more advanced, we become pleased. Why? Because when you associate with advanced devotees, you have the opportunity to hear philosophy that can enable you to become more determined on the spiritual path. When you meet somebody equally advanced, make friendship. And when you meet somebody less advanced, display compassion. Prabhupada in the third book says, generally when you meet somebody more advanced in a material situation, you become envious. And when you meet somebody equally advanced, you try to just show off of you're smarter than the other guy. And when you meet somebody less advanced, you try to exploit it. But a devotee, when he sees a conditioned soul who is struggling with illusory energy, who is less advanced than he is on the spiritual path of self-realization, he displays compassion. And it is because of this compassion, mercy, that the devotees endeavor to preach, and it's because of this mood of compassion and mercy that the acharyas also emphasize the importance of preaching. Just like you read about the qualities of a Vaishnava that were revealed, of a sadhu, that were revealed by Lord Kapila Dev to his mother Devahuti. Devahuti wanted to know my dear son, how do I recognize who's a sadhu? Like you recognize a doctor based on their degree, an engineer on the basis of a degree. How do I recognize a sadhu? And the son replied, Tithikshava Karudikaha. Again, Tithikshava means tolerant, Karudika means merciful. And as Prabhupada says in the purport of this verse, Suda Sarva Dhaina. A devotee is a friend of all living entities. Prahlad's father wanted Prahlad to be trained in the art of diplomacy, friends and enemies. But Prahlad said, no, I'm not interested in that. Everyone is actually my friend. Suda Sarva Dhaina. So, we preach, we distribute books, we go on sankirtan because the Lord has emphasized the importance of preaching. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the concluding verses of the Gita, Krishna again points out at the importance of preaching, isn't it? Yaida Param Bhuyam. One who declares, who distributes this knowledge, is actually very dear to me. More or less confirming what is being said in this verse. And there will never be more dear than him, than one who preaches my glory. So the Sankirtan devotees, those who engage in this missionary activity of traveling and preaching, are actually rendering the highest service to humanity. Just like over here, Narada Muni says, Dayaya Sarvabhuteshu, showing mercy. Now, different people have different concept of what is mercy. For example, if you were in a country like India, where you see a lot of people have money, but by and large, they want to use their money for what? They want to use their money for building hospitals where they can tag their name or they can build a school or something. There's no doubt this is also charity. But the highest charity is giving people knowledge of God. Therefore, Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita says the building of these temples is like building spiritual hospitals. A person goes to a hospital to get cured, isn't it? Why do you go to the hospital? Because there the environment is a little better, you have more attention for taking care of your disease. So Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that these temples of ISKCON are like spiritual hospitals where the conditioned soul is brought to be relieved of the tendency for self-enjoyment. So by preaching, by endeavoring to give people this transcendental knowledge, we are actually participating in the most magnanimous, compassionate, merciful activity that any individual soul can engage in. Again, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, you read about so many wonderful stories where this mood of preaching is emphasized. For example, there was a devotee called Vasudeva Vipra. And when Lord Chaitanya went on his tour of southern India, he virtually converted all of South India to the path of Vaishnavism. From a great distance, people would come to see his performing sankirtan. And just by seeing him chant and dance, they would also begin to chant and dance and go back and start chanting. And then when they would go back to their respective villages, the others, by seeing them chant and dance, would also begin to chant and dance. And thus, virtually, all of South India was converted to the path of Vaishnavism. And when Lord Chaitanya went to southern India, he stayed in the house of a Brahmana called Kurma. Now, there was a devotee called Vasudeva Vipra. And this Vasudeva was suffering from leprosy.
His disease was so severe that nobody would even come near him. There was pus flowing from his body all the time, and a very bad odor was coming out of his body. But he was so compassionate. He had insects all over his body, can you imagine? And when these insects would fall on the ground, he would lift them back and put them back in his body. Can you imagine?
You get disease, you take medicine to kill the germs in your body. Here is the devotee, the germ, the incense will in his body, they would fall down, and then he would lift them back and put them back in his body. This was his level of tolerance.
Now when he heard that Lord Chaitanya, the most magnanimous incarnation ever to appear, was there in South India, Vasudeva came to Kurma Brahman's house to get the darshan of the Lord. But when he came to the Kurma Brahman's house, he discovered, much to his dismay, that the Lord had already departed. And when he heard that the Lord had departed, he almost fainted. He fell on the ground unconscious. But then Lord Chaitanya is a super soul. Knows everything, am I right? He's all pervasive. So Lord Chaitanya knew that Vasudeva is very unhappy because he could not get his darshan. So he came back to the Kurma Brahman's house, and there he embraced Vasudeva. So when he embraced Vasudeva, his leprosy was gone. And the ugly Vasudeva Vipra, who no one would come near, became a very handsome personality. You know, we preach the Christians talk of the miracles that Jesus Christ did. And so we also have a lot of miracles in our story, but we don't really emphasize those miracles that much. But here's a miracle, isn't it? Lord Chaitanya embraced Vasudeva, who was suffering from leprosy, and all of a sudden his leprosy was gone, became a very handsome personality, and he became very happy. All of a sudden his leprosy was gone. But then Vasudeva thought that I may become proud. Previously I was so ugly that no one would even come near me. And now I become so handsome that I may become proud. This was his insanity. So he went to Lord Chaitanya. He said, well, what do you have to do to become humble? I'm afraid previously no one would come near me, but now I've become so handsome. Lord Chaitanya said, chant Hare Krishna and preach the glories of Hare Krishna. And if you chant and preach the glories of Hare Krishna, he said, you will never become proud. So Prabhupada, in the purport of this section, says, it's just like Vasudeva Vibra was saved from a very vulnerable condition to a very handsome man. The devotees of this Krishna conscious movement were also suffering from a severe disease. A disease may not be that of leprosy. A disease is a disease of sense enjoyment. Like Prabhupada said, we're all suffering from heart disease. You may say, no, my cardiologist said I'm very healthy, everything's normal. So we're all suffering from heart disease. What's a heart disease? A heart is black. And a cold, more black than a cold actually, full of onions and mature blood. So Prabhupada says that just like Vasudeva Vipra was suffering from a disease, we're all suffering from this disease. And he said that every devotee of this Krishna conscious movement should not only chant Hare Krishna, but travel and preach the glories of Hare Krishna also to everyone. So this is another quote
But Prabhupada emphasizes that we should, just what the Vipra was instructed by the Lord, we should also. We earlier related the story of Maharaj Ramadeva to you. There's another devotee called Vasudeva Datta. Vasudeva Datta was such an exalted devotee. He was in a Grihastha ashram. But many Grihasthas like to store things, you know. No offense. They are allowed under the law in the ashram. So Vasudeva Datta would not save anything. Whatever he would earn, he would spend by the evening. And his wife would often go and complain to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there's nothing left for my household. The Lord Chaitanya appointed Raghav Pandit to be his manager to make sure that Vasudeva Datta is coming up to maintain his family. So Vasudeva Datta once went to Lord Chaitanya and said, "My dear Lord, I want to ask you a favor." Okay, what's the favor? What is the favor? Please liberate all the conditioned souls and let me suffer the sinful reaction due to them. Liberate all the conditioned souls, he says, and let me suffer the sinful reaction due to them. This was Vasudeva Datta's prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, in his commentary, explains that actually Vasudeva Datta was even more magnanimous than Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ agreed to really save his followers. Vasudeva Datta says, "Take all the conditioned souls back to Godhead, and I will stay on." The reaction to that. Now, some of us may be saying, "But Maharaj, we are not at the exalted level of these personalities. We are not at Prahlad Maharaj's level or Rati Deva's level. We are conditioned neophytes working in this environment, in this demonic society. The sense gratification is so rampant, and all around you see nothing but sense enjoyment. So what inspiration are we going to draw from these? We are such a vulnerable condition. But in material life, you may see that everyone has heroes, isn't it? Like, you know, if you go to any young, kindly youngster's room, you like to see posters of a pop star, or a movie star, or a soccer star. These are the World Cup. Is the World Cup still going on?
Okay, thank you.
So the World Cup still going on, the people are still mentioning the World Cup, you know. Recently, as you may have heard, I devotees over here. And you know, when I was in Moscow a few days ago, they told me, Japan defeated Russia, you know, in the World Soccer Cup. So the Russians were so offended that Japan defeated them that they sent a big rampage in Moscow, destroyed all the oriental shops, shot the police, and attacked all the Japanese and Chinese because the Japanese team defeated Russia in the World Soccer. The point is, in the material world, you know, people identify with their nation's sports team, with their heroes, and so on. They have Michael Jackson, who's a rock star in Germany, I don't know, anyway. So the devotees also have heroes. And our heroes are these great spiritual personalities about whom we've just been hearing and discussing. And we draw inspiration from their example. We draw great moral support from their instruction. We meditate on their instruction. And that's how we become spiritually strong. So, this Sankirtan Mela is a wonderful festival in which the devotees are taking part in Sankirtan are being thanked, acknowledged, glorified. The service that they're doing is actually what is being glorified. Not the Sankirtan Mela. Just like you're taking part in the Sankirtan program. Many of our acharyas were Sankirtan devotees also. And the far as great Sankirtan than the world, your book distributor was the great Thakur Bhaktivinoda. You know that? Thakur Bhaktivinoda was also a book distributor. Does anyone know that? You don't know that. Thakur Bhaktivinoda in 1896, the year that Srila Prabhupada appeared on this planet, he sent his book on the life of Lord Chaitanya. Everything was written in a leaf. And knowledge was transferred to the leaf, isn't it? If they wanted some knowledge, they would copy it down and then they would transfer the knowledge as well. Can you tell Prabhupada to give me another 10 minutes?
Korma would like.
We're just going to have 10 minutes.
Situations like this,
okay,
we
fine.
Have this
okay.
meeting coming, and
So, Thakur Bhaktivinoda was the first big book distributor. Boom.
Okay.
3 minutes. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, the first big book distributor, he sent his book on the life of Lord Chaitanya to institutions around the world. Srila Prabhupada himself would go out and do book distribution also. Before Prabhupada came to the West, when he was staying in Radha down the temple, he would regularly come to Delhi, and Prabhupada had to endeavor not just to distribute books, first translate, then get the paper, then beg donations for printing, and then do the distribution. You devotees don't have to do that, do you? You get a very packed book. You don't have to worry about translating, printing, begging for paper. All you have to do is worry about distributing these books. You're such a fortunate position. So, the Sankirtan devotees, as you know, Prabhupada glorified this service very much. I know that whenever Prabhupada's mail would come, and his secretary would take his mail, those days there was no email, it was all regular letters. So every day Prabhupada would get 1,500 letters. So the first letter which the secretary would read to Prabhupada would be the Sankirtan news letter. Prabhupada wanted to know what is book distribution goes and how book distribution is going on around the world. And Prabhupada said, as long as book distribution goes on, I will never die. So by distributing Prabhupada's book, you're giving Prabhupada the opportunity to go on preaching to the conditioned souls. And bear in mind, every book that is distributed is read, not just for the one individual who gets the book, but at least 2, 3, 4 people. And there are cases where somebody has bought a book in Australia, visited the temple in London, and ended up becoming a devotee in Moscow. There was a sailor, his ship was in Australia. So, you know, the sailors come out of the ship, they bought a book. Then when the ship reached London, he said, let me go and visit the Hare Krishna temple. He was reading the book on the journey. Then after visiting the temple in London, having prasad, the ship sailed for Moscow. So on the way, he read the books further. And when he came to Moscow, he decided he's going to stay for Krishna. He became a full-time devotee. So that's why Bhakti Siddhanta Ji called it the Brihad Pratanga. When you distribute a book on the streets of Germany, it's not that this will only be read in Germany, it could be read in any part of the world, isn't it? That's why Bhakti Siddhanta Ji drew a picture of Mridanga and told Prabhupada, this activity of taking in this meeting is the Brihad Pratanga. So, thank you very much. You devotees are very fortunate to be engaged in this service. Of course, to succeed in this service, you need enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, nothing works. I remember once in 1976, we'd arranged a big book display of Prabhupada's books at a very big bookstore in Bombay. And after 1 month of prominent book display, not many books moved. So I went to Prabhupada and said, in spite of all this window display and book cracks, even not many books moved. Prabhupada said, my books are sold because of the enthusiasm of my disciples. And in the shop, you know, the salesmen are not so enthusiastic. So the key is enthusiasm, and the enthusiasm comes from purity. and purity comes from attentive chanting, reading, following the process of sadhana bhakti. Then we really follow the sadhana bhakti process, then we'll make spiritual advance. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, they say the time's up, so I don't want to hold the one this evening. Okay, Brahma, and so.
Sovanes Gopal Krishna Maharaj ki
jai. Rajya Yajna ki
jai.
Lord.